비치는 마음 달이 생기나니 when moon shines, that's where your mind moon comes into making. Here, mind moon refers to your mind within or your Buddha mind. So this line of verse teaches you have to discover your Buddha within. That's what meditation is about, instead of praying. Help yourself discover your Buddha within, your Buddhahood, your Buddha nature. Then there is this line, 1,000 moons in 1,000 rivers. That means this Buddha within is available to each and everyone. So if I sum it up, is here, water or river refers to life, the flowing water. It's Buddhist reference to life. So where there is life, Buddha nature comes with it. It's already endowed with Buddha nature. So first, the Buddhism teaches reverence for life, reverence for all life. Then each of you, your task is to discover your Buddha within and activate it. It's there, like mind moon. It's silent, but illuminates. Silent illumination dispelling darkness, dispelling your delusion. Now, the threefold training, all Buddhist cultivation is based on this threefold training called Tri Shiksha. That's Sila, Samadhi, and Raja. Sila is a ethical awakening, and samadhi is a spiritual awakening, and wisdom is a social awakening. So when we meditate, you learn concentrate your mind. Now, our tradition is all about how to practice, but even in how to practice, we usually begin counting your outgoing breath to concentrate your mind. So all life, so every living being has breath, it's their life. It's a vital sign of your life, breathing. If you don't breathe, if you don't have a breath, you would be sitting there, you would be dead. So it's very important. But usually, we breathe in and out unmindfully. So the first thing about breath meditation is you learn to pay attention to your breath, to your life. Awakening to your life is called awakening to your life. So it's a mindful breathing instead of unmindful breathing. Usually, a person breathes in and out 17 times in 1 minute. And also, it's chest breathing. So you 17 times in a minute, they breathe, or what we say, they breathe like a piston. You know, piston is cylinder moving up and down within tube. So either up and down or back and forth, it's like you breathe like a piston. Now in mindful breathing, it's an abdominal breathing instead of a chest breathing. So first you learn, sometimes it's also called deep breathing. So it takes a little practice. So when you breathe in through through your nose, and then you breathe out. You feel that your abdominal, you know, like below and above your navel, belly button, it swells out and then pulls in. That's called abdominal breathing. It's another thing you have to pay attention your breathing exercise. In chest breathing, in piston-like breathing, is when you, it's a 17 minutes normally, but when you engage in a hard activity like running or jogging or pushing or lifting heavy things, then of course the rate increases. And then if you really engage in hard and demanding work, then of course you have to also keep running, then you have to open your mouth and breathe through your mouth. But in the mindful breathing, meditative breathing, in abdominal breathing, first you it's a deep breathing about five times. You know, you breathe in, so pulling in your stomach, and then release your breath through open mouth, making a little, you know, like a circular motion. You know, so you release it slowly, breathing out, exhaling. And then breathing in deep, and then exhaling slowly. And then if you keep doing that, in meditation is your normal breathing rate drops from 17 to 16 and from 16 to 15. And eventually, what this is said, you know, there's many studies about that. In experienced meditators, it can drop down to 4 or 5 times, or three or four times. That's one time breathing in and out, 4 or 3 times. Now, another thing is, instead of a piston-like breathing, what happens is your breathing activity becomes very soft, quiet, and it's more like a, instead of a back and forth, it's more like in a circular motion. You're breathing, in abdominal breathing. But first, you usually tend to combine chest breathing with the abdominal breathing. You go through that stage. And also, the deep breathing, real deep breathing, as you usually do, for instance, when your mind is all over the place, very scattered, or to bring your mind together, or when you're upset, emotionally very upset and angry, and then also if you're nervous before you go in for important audience or things like that, like a stage fright, and when you have to really calm down, and when you're normal, of your normal self, you can function better, either in an interview or for your public performance or something like that. So then you, and also when you're angry, to calm down, you deep breathing, you breathe in deep, really swelling, your abdominal part, and then release it slowly, and that you do it 5 times. And then stay with the normal rate of abdominal breath, or combination of abdominal and chest breath. Okay, so first is mindful breathing, and then abdominal breathing. And then, it's of course the purposes, these are like tools you use, but the result is your concentration. And that's usually called the flower of the mind, or mind flower begins to bloom, you see. When you're concentrated, we teach this during the introductory meditation course. There's a meditation light. Your meditation light, your awareness is here. Mindful is moving toward awareness, which in turn leads to awakening. That's the wisdom part. Open your wisdom eye. So that you count your breath, that's concentration, your concentration and your knowing mind and the meditation light, they respond to each other. Okay. Now, you are lay person, and that means you are not monastic, and the Robert Aitken Roche, when he was alive, he would, from time to time, he would remind his students, who are all lay people, and then he would comment saying, at present, the Buddhist movement in this country is laicization. You see, it's all lay people. Used to be monastic. The Asian form of Buddhism, Buddhist practices are, you know, monastic practice, because the monks, they have a time, and also they don't have a worldly ties. They make a renunciation. Here you cannot renounce your family or your world, so you have to take a non-renunciation as a Buddhist value, which is revolutionary in a sense in the Buddhist history. So that means you have two things. You have to learn to carry or do the practice or incorporate your Buddhist values or your Buddhist practice in the midst of activities, either at work or out on the street, you know, or you know, in the company or attending meetings or so. That's important. So that's what I usually call here informal practice. So you have to somehow learn to incorporate and to carry on your Buddhist values and Buddhist practice in the midst of activities where you are at work. Not only that, somehow you have to learn to turn your home life or your business life or work life, the place, into a Dharma realm, you know, Dharma place. That means your presence, you know, you don't have to, you know, talk like evangelicals, but, you know, people should be able to relate to your, you know, to your presence, or benefit from your presence there. That's where we can make a difference. Do I make sense to you?
Yes.
So that's, you know, keep that in mind. And the numbers of people practicing Buddhism or meditation or carrying Buddhist values are small, but the quality of your Buddhist life can make a difference.